With Fidelity Wealth Management, a dedicated advisor can work with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Plus, you'll have access to specialists in estate planning strategies. So you're not just growing and protecting your wealth, you're sharing it. More at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome to the Jill on Money Show. It is Thursday, December 23rd, and despite all of my anxiety about the Build Back Better plan and how that would bring me out of vacation, nope, that didn't happen. However, I did have to record a new opening for this program because we did have breaking news. The Department of Education announced another 90-day extension of the pause on student loan repayments, interest, and collections. So this is for federal student loans. Now you've got through May 1st, 2022. And everybody was saying how, oh my God, the administration, this is the last one. You're going to start paying on February 1st. No, we are back, gang. Here we are once again. If you are lucky enough to actually have a job, maybe, just maybe, you ought to be thinking about how you're going to ramp up your ability to shave time off of that loan. That can help you. It's kind of great, right? And maybe, just maybe, if you want to give yourself a leg up, you should still go to the website studentaid.gov and you should update all of your information and make sure that you're ready. But here it is once again. I just have to say, I am surprised about this, but this is where we are in the new Omicron era of the variant. Oh, and one other thing that I should mention, Mark and I never got together because we both decided we shouldn't do that. So I'm missing seeing the best executive producer in the world in person prior to the holidays. And more importantly, I've got his kids present. So we'll let you know if anything else breaks between now and the end of the year. But today, we are still doing what we do, which is we take your questions. If you have a financial question, just go to the website, jillonmoney.com, jillonmoney.com. Okay, so let's go and chat with Leith in North Carolina. Hey, Leith, what can we do for you?
So listen, recently retired, gave my wife and I an opportunity to take a look at our savings and our IRAs and our 401s and everything and combine them and more or less have a better view of what we have now in terms of our retirement savings.
Okay.
So my question to you is, our savings are made up of IRAs, 401s, some cash, some real estate and that type of thing. But, you know, I'm not an expert in finance, so my concern is, how do I know, or what are some flashpoints that I should be aware of to say, hey, wait a minute, are we in good shape in case we have another economic downturn? I just want to be prepared and not caught off, you know, not knowing what to do when I start to see the warning signs.
You know, I think that's a great question. Let me go back first and do the more mundane stuff, which is you and your life. So you are retired. How old are you?
I am 67.
And your wife is how old?
She is 66.
And is she also retired?
Yes.
Okay. If you look at your total income from Social Security, pensions, any real estate income, what is the income that is coming in every year now?
Well, of course, that depends, but probably somewhere around 100,000 maybe.
Great. And does that 100 grand cover your basic needs or even your desired needs?
It does.
Okay, so you're good. So the income you're generating is good. Are you in that $100,000, are you including money that's coming out of your investment accounts or just money from pensions, Social Security, or real estate income?
It would be really a combination of all.
Okay. So if I had to say, what is the income that is coming almost automatically? So Social Security and pensions, what would that number be?
That would probably be 75% of it.
Oh, okay. So great. So Social Security and pension. And so you need another 25 grand from your total savings / retirement savings to generate the money you need on an ongoing basis, right?
I would say that's a fair statement.
Great. Now, tell me how much money right now you have in just retirement assets, meaning your IRAs and your 401ks.
I would say probably close to $2 million.
Okay. And savings, cash, meaning money that's already been taxed that's set aside.
Yeah, probably another one.
Okay. And real estate, you own your home now?
Yes, I do.
Okay. No mortgage?
No mortgage.
Great. Let me just say this. If I could give you like one of those weird checklists and from like a doctor, and I would say, if you gave me this as a doctor, I would say you are in stunning health. You have nothing to worry about. Okay?
Well, you know. Yeah.
You want to worry? I'll let you worry. Don't worry.
No, I don't want to worry, but I want to be smart. I don't want to be caught not knowing
something. I got you. But here's one of the reasons why we go through this sort of exercise. Because you got $3 million, right? Mm-hmm. If you were the most risk averse person in the world, if you said, I hate risk, I never want to, I could just have maybe 20% in the stock market. That's it. And everything else, I really want to batten down the hatches. I want to be safe. You would still be able to pull $50,000, $60,000 out of this account every year, pay some taxes due on the pre-tax stuff, and have the money you need to support yourself. The reason why that's important to know is you're going to ask me a question now about how to prepare for bad things happening. And what I can tell you is the easiest thing to do to prepare for bad things happening is to save a boatload of money. And you've done that already. So that is essentially the hardest work. And it's the biggest challenge that when people call in here, I have to say to them, well, you know what? You actually haven't done such a good job. You have done an amazing job. So the reason why this is so important is that you've put away the money that you need, more than you need. The money that you need to generate income-wise is really such a low number relative to the total assets that you've saved that you don't really even have to take on a lot of risk.
You know, I listen to a lot of different people about finances and read things, and one of the things I'm hearing is somebody saying, you know, don't have a lot of cash in banks right now, have it in the market. You have cash in banks in these, you know, not making any money. What should you do with your cash that you have in savings accounts in banks that
okay.
really is not doing anything?
So first of all, I think that people who are saying, oh, don't have cash on hand are idiots. Is that a nice way of saying it? Because the best defense against an economic downturn is to have basically no debt. You know, you had your mortgage still, it wouldn't be a big deal, but you don't have debt. And to have 2 years of expenses sitting in a safe place, which for you, you know, you don't even, you get income, but let's say you said, I'm going to keep 200 grand in cash. And then when you really want to prepare for something going badly, you have a well-diversified portfolio. What you are now asking me is, well, how can I prepare for an economic downturn, but also take advantage of the market continuing to rise? And the answer is you can't have it both ways. You know that, because every investor knows that. So what is the portfolio that's going to prepare you for if something bad were to happen in the future, but also allow you to participate? And that is pretty much of a classic balanced portfolio. So if you looked at your retirement assets and you said, well, I've got half of the stuff that's mostly in risky assets and half of it in less risky assets like bonds, or that is sort of splitting the difference. But you can't have it both ways. And I don't think you need to. The part about your situation that's amazing to me is that, in essence, you don't actually need to grow your money. Your money will last you for the rest of your life. I know you don't want to give it away, but you have to ask yourself this question. Let me ask you, what would make you more upset? If I looked at the next year and I said, let's say the next 3 years before you turn 70, in the next 3 years, you can either fully participate in the market's rise, or you would have to fully participate in the market falling apart. Which is more appealing to you?
Well, of course, if the market rises, right?
Oh, see, that's the fascinating thing. Maybe. Let's say that I say...
Let me amend my answer to you.
Okay.
My position has been always about pace and balance.
Right.
I feel like our portfolio is balanced. I mean, we have domestic stocks, we have bonds, but we're very conservative.
Okay.
So I can be completely happy with not a lot of growth every year, but a moderate amount of growth, as long as it's, pretty consistent year in and year out.
Mm-hmm. But I guess what I'm wondering from my perspective is, why are you so focused on the growth part since you are a balanced investor? You started the call with, how can I prepare for an economic downturn? And I would say to you,
right,
it's pretty easy. The way you prepare for it is to have some cash on hand and to make sure that you're not asking too much of your portfolio's performance on the downside. So if the market were down by 25% next year because we're in a recession, would you care that your $3 million turned into $2.5 million? Or would you be more concerned with making sure that $3 million stays $3 million? In other words, as you get older and you need to rely on your assets to generate income, most people would say, I'm much more afraid of losing money than concerned about making money on the way up. And that's what I'm trying to figure out from you. Are you more concerned about losing something if the market were to turn south, or are you more concerned with not missing out on the way up?
I guess I'm more concerned with the first part.
Yeah, of course you are, because you're a human being and that's the smart way to be. So what I need you to try to do, which is so hard, is I need you to try to drown out the little devil that's sitting on the side of sitting on your shoulder and saying to you, don't miss out on the top. Don't miss out on this. Because of course you're going to miss out on it. You are not the type of person who needs to actually capture so much of the upside. Frankly, if the market is up 10% this year and you're only up 4%, it doesn't matter. You're fine. You're in amazing shape. You have done the hard work. You've saved the money. So now, as opposed to every other knucklehead out there that really has to invest to beat inflation and work, you don't have to worry. You are in a great place. So...
okay.
Just try to remember that. Say, every time the market goes up, or the fact that I have too much money in cash, I call that, it's called sleep at night money. Okay, I know time is short, so let's get to it. If you would like to ask us your financial question, just go to JillOnMoney.com and click the contact button. While you're there, here's a nice little resolution for you. Why don't you sign up for the weekly newsletter? It's free. Mark does it every Friday. It's great. Everything you want is over at JillOnMoney.com. Don't forget to lift someone up. Boy, now this time of year, more than ever. Grit, growth, grace. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.